makes sense. Made a lot of sense. Damn, now if I can just make some sense with a C.
You're making lots of sense here. That's a very logical and reasonable point there. And that brings me to one, Bernie Sanders. He's also someone who mentioned ETs most recently. He did. As well. What's your thoughts and reactions about that?
Here's my thoughts and reactions. In the last presidential campaign, because of the work I was doing in Washington, D.C., we were able to get the story underway about the ET issue.
Right.
Because of its connection to the Clinton campaign, Clinton people, Hillary and John Podesta and all that. I mean, they were the leading candidate. They were the leading candidacy. And a connection to the ET issue by the leading candidacy is actually a pretty substantial story. And we actually got it going and generated 400 articles. In all the papers, all the English language papers around the world, certainly, all the major papers in the U.S., there were statements being made on numerous television shows and so forth that the campaign was forced out of cover, had to say something and did. And so there was a great deal. It did not trigger what I wanted it to trigger. And the campaign debates were able to stay away from it to their everlasting disgrace. But nevertheless, was a huge amount of coverage of the ET connection to the leading presidential candidate. And so now we start the next election cycle. And we started off with 24 candidates. And you're wondering, where were they for the last 4 years? Did they just all go off and live underwater or something? Were they in a cave? They watched all of that happen. You don't think the presidential candidates that are on those stages now, even the ones that have dropped out, weren't paying really close attention to the last election? And so they saw all these articles. They saw Hillary and Podesta making those statements about the ET issue. They saw it all. And so now they're running for Congress, and it's like it never existed. It never happened. A little statement by Bernie Sanders at the end of a Joe Rogan podcast. A very tiny statement by candidate Yang. I'm not sure any other candidate has said anything. I don't think so. That's it. It's tiny, right? As if that entire connection that existed in that last massive campaign that cost an absolute bloody fortune didn't happen. Now, I'm not impressed by that.
Interesting.
I realize they want to win. They want to win so bad they can taste it every day. I get it. They want to change the world. I get it. But they have the same problem that every candidate virtually has had in my lifetime. Well, not my adult life. They want that job. They want to change the world, but they do not want to speak truth to power. They want to couch it, finesse it, play with it. But to be direct and to be direct about all things, meaning, okay, here's a list of things I can talk about. Here's a list of things I won't talk about. Well, candidate, there's a lot of very important things on this list. Yeah, but I can't talk about this. Why not? Because I could probably lose votes. So in other words, winning is priority and actually talking about the truth is, well, incidental.
Mm.
They're pretty much all in that zone, even though some of them occasionally will impress you, but it's mostly theater. There is some intensity and some consistency, but it's usually about a couple of issues. The moment you stray out of those issues, nothing, nada. You know, it's like the moon is blowing up. Yeah, look, I can't get into that now. I want to talk about healthcare. Yeah, but the moon is blowing up. So am I impressed with the political process this time around? Not yet. Do I know how it's going to play out? I don't.
Your comments don't surprise me one bit.
Well, so in other words, I am a political activist and I can talk political, but again, the only reason that I talk political and I'm willing to go into those areas all is because the dysfunction in the political system has huge impact on the disclosure process. It always has. This dysfunction, which is endemic, it's pretty much throughout the whole system. North Carolina just held a vote in the North Carolina legislature down there where there was a vote that was going to be, I think, to override a veto by the governor, who's one party, and the party that is the same party as the governor. Basically told the, how would you say, let it be known to the Democrats somehow that there was going to be no vote in a certain day because of the 9/11 commemoration, and then went ahead without enough Democrats there and passed the vote. About as venal a maneuver as you could possibly make. And that's typical. So all of this dysfunction is preventing us from getting disclosure. And disclosure is the most profound event in human history, which has the potential to change this world in ways we can only imagine. And so, yeah, increasingly I'm speaking to that dysfunction.
Yes, you are.
Because it's a barrier. It's like there's a lot of things you want to do with your life, but you got a giant tumor coming out of the side of your back, out of the side of your head, rather. And so at some point you got to address that too, or you're not going to be able to do anything. And so if we don't address the political reforms that are needed, we're not going to get disclosure. We're not going to end the arms race. We're not going to avoid environmental collapse, and it'll all be moot. It just won't matter. So it's increasingly more difficult for me to separate it, but I am going to do my damnedest to be nonpartisan in these assessments. You can find, you know, anybody can find reasons why, well, the one side is better than the other. Fine. You can do it. It's not hard. Whichever side you want doesn't matter. But unless you understand that both sides are part of an increasingly dysfunctional system, then you're not going to, there's not going to be progress. You're just going to keep swapping out dysfunctional leadership one after another, back and forth, spinning your wheels, which is what we've been doing primarily. God, going certainly back to the 1990s, if not the 1980s. But the dysfunction that, America is suffering now, its origins go back really further than that. It goes back to the mid-60s. I like to use 64 as the starting year when things, the wheels started to come off the Great American Experiment. Up until then, there was, up until then, we were making progress. So we'd had some terrible things in the past. We were making progress and moving away from them and towards a country worthy of the modern world. And then in 64, the wheels started to come off and they've not been put back on.
I agree with you, by the way, in terms of the 60s, you had all sorts of different movements going on during that time. Absolutely. And by the way,
but it wasn't the movements that caused the wheels to fall off. The movements were in response to the fact that a lot of people were, wait a minute, the wheels are coming off the car here. And they started to react, continued to react for years. Now, the beginning of this era of growing dysfunction in mind, I'm not necessarily speaking economically, though $22 trillion in debt is not advancement. But nevertheless, there are people that are making money. There are people that are very rich. I get that. It was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. When Johnson jumped on the reports coming out of the Gulf of Tonkin, slammed a resolution, I think in 48 hours or less, through the Congress, giving him full justification to expand the Vietnam War ad infinitum. That was the beginning. From that point forward, we've been heading down.
Downhill.
And deeper into the hole. We had a moment when we thought we were getting out, but we really weren't. And so the question is, what's going to happen next? I don't know. There's 10,000 areas that one could address with respect to changing course. I got one, disclosure. And I happen to think it's the biggest lever out there. And there's all kinds of little levers you could apply to the American dysfunction right now. Little pressure points like acupuncture. You could push here, push there, and maybe a little modification. Nothing compares to the power of disclosure. Change the situation, to change the rules, redirect and so forth. Nothing. And interestingly enough, that particular lever has the most pushback by government of any other lever. Nothing else comes close.
Well, I am hoping the very best for you, Stephen. I really do hope you get lots of things going on out there, lots of minds opened up to a lot of the things that we are talking about now out there when you make your return out there to Washington.
Gone back, but the podcast, the podcast starts early October.
Yes.
So I hope people will listen. I hope they'll support it at Indiegogo, the Disclosure Wire podcast, or the Disclosure Wire. We'll give you the best we can.
No doubt. And before I let you go, I must ask you, since this is the day after 9/11, do you have any recollection of 9/11? What happened that Tuesday morning, Stephen?
I remember it. Well, who doesn't?
That's true. Yeah.
I had an apartment. The last time I had my own place, I was in bed and a good friend of mine called me, woke me up and said, plane hit the Pentagon. And, wait a minute. Let me think about this. No, he said a plane hit one of the towers and I didn't think about it much. I mean, the damn things are very tall and something could crash into them. And, I said, okay. And he, I think, went back to watching TV and I went back to sleep. And, because I tend to work late.
That's okay.
I'm a night guy. I mean, God knows, I probably was up on the computer till 3 a.m. I go back to sleep. And then not too long after that, he calls me up again. And he says, well, a plane has now hit the Pentagon. And even in my foggy, sleepy state, I instantly knew that's terrorism. And that's a big deal. And so I got out of bed. I went over and I turned on the television. And then for I don't know how many days and weeks and months, I saw those towers come down 1,000 times. I don't know. And I watched the coverage intensively and proceeded to develop massive gastrointestinal problems. That's what happened. And, I was having fits, reflux, worst in my life, bad enough to send me to the emergency room. And they were sticking tubes in every orifice I had looking for a problem.
Yikes.
I couldn't find anything. It was nothing but pure internalized stress. Because I knew what it meant. Again, if you're an activist and you're paying attention to this stuff a lot, you sort of know things a lot quicker than maybe the average Joe or Jane. And I knew it meant war. I knew that the disclosure process was completely shoved off the table. It was no longer there. It had blown completely. Stephen Greer's efforts with the disclosure project were basically blown sky high. I knew all of that. And I knew enough about the political system to know that they weren't going to deal with it well. They weren't going to handle it well. They were going to screw it up. And they exceeded my wildest expectations. So that's what I remember. A beginning of a new era in stupidity, arrogance, waste, and destruction. And since the previous kind of episode was, again, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which happened just as I went to college, and that affected me too. I mean, that was also the beginning of an era, a substantial era,
right,
of waste, destruction, stupidity. And it affected me a lot, changed my life. It derailed me. I was knocked off my skis, and I didn't get back on my skis for 20 some years, but I did. And, 5 years after I got it together and got into this issue, as it happens, it happened again. And for me, but it was worse. Gulf of Tonkin resolution was a thing passed in Congress. A lot of people didn't even know about it until much later. The implications of it were absolutely clear, but on September 11th, 2001, the implications were immediate and obvious. I knew exactly what was going to happen next, pretty much. And I knew how bad it was going to be. And it just made me sick, literally made me sick. And what got me out of it, I was not in good shape, is that I found another project, another way to move forward, and made a decision to try to get on the November ballot in the 2002 election. And that was all happening around June or so of 2002. So in other words, I got real sick and, you know, not in good shape for about 8 months. And then I found a project, and so I got involved in that election. I did get the signatures and I got on the ballot, and that was a first. That's never happened before. It's happened since. A couple people have done it. Hildebrand was the third, fellow by the name of Hildebrand, and then Joe Buckland was the second. And I think there's been another since. And that pulled me out of it. But no, seems like when anything happens like that, the nature of the leadership that we have created seizes upon it and uses it to do as much damage as they can. It's happened over and over again. And they prey upon the people's patriotism. They prey upon their sentiments, and they just manipulate the hell out of them because they've got this thing that happened. There seems to be no other alternative, nothing. And we get more destruction, building up millions of blood feuds that will last for 1,000 years that guarantee that the process will go on seemingly forever. And that's what was going through my mind September 11th, 2000.
Pretty heavy stuff there, Mr. Bassett.
It's a heavy world.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Khan.
Mr. Deacon, yes. And of course, you are...